Welcome to Cyber Therapy. This is Ashley, your host. And if you're new to the show, this is where we usually interview somebody in tech, in security, and we like to just get to know them. But today we're doing something a little different. We're going to take a look back in midsummer and just see how far we've come. We started the show.
What am I, Chopper? Yeah.
Yes, I'm just going to go.
Come on. I am on I'm literally on the screen. For those of you that might be listening to audio only, I'm literally on the video screen with her. She can see me, and she still didn't introduce me today.
Well, you're still bopping to the music. I saw you.
I was getting my jam on pretty good.
When are you going to ever cover that song? Maybe on one of these shows? We'll just start with an acoustic version of that with you.
An acoustic version. Then, maybe I could do something there. Maybe I can remix it. I've been known to remix music in the past. Oh, that's something I could have put into our game today, and I didn't think about it till just now.
Awesome. Well, if you're new here, this is Tyler Shields. He's my boss and co-host, and we just like to have a good time on the show, interview, get to know some cool people. So definitely subscribe, like us on LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube. Follow us,
subscribe, check the notify, all those things,
really, right? we ought to have like an actual like subscribe button that we can both point to.
I want to be able to on video go like this and have it appear. Yes. So Tyler, bring in Tyler P real quick, because he's our super design producer, music producer, like all things video and awesomeness.
Hello,
can we do that, Tyler? Can we eventually get a system where I can like point like that way and have the button appear? Is that even doable?
Yeah, we'll look into that.
He's like, No, Tyler, we can't with our system. But I'll make it sound like we can. So.
Absolutely. Anything for you, Tyler.
Don't make that kind of promise.
So we're doing cool stuff today. Tyler, you can hang out if you want to. But if you don't want to, you don't have to hang out on the show today. I can bring you back later. But you're going to participate in our game today.
Yeah, I'll pop back in. So I'll see you all a little bit.
I'll call you back when we're ready.
Thanks.
See ya. So I want to take a moment.
Yes.
And I want to reflect a little bit on what we've done here. And I have my cheat sheet here. I'm trying to find it. There's my cheat sheet.
Yep. Technically, this is our 20th episode.
20 episodes.
Labeling it episode 19 because we did a special one that was out of sequence for Data Privacy Day, which we will probably do again next year.
Are you getting any echo by chance? Because I did not put my headphones in today.
Nope.
Okay. You get an echo, let me know and I'll throw them in.
Sounds good.
20 episodes.
Yeah.
How you feel about that, Ashley? I mean, neither one of us have ever done a professional podcast before. Neither one of us have been hosts of shows. I think we do a decent job. We're driving followers. We're getting viewers. The numbers are climbing. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about what you've achieved in 20 episodes of the Cyber Therapy Show, as we look back on this kind of monumental halfway point of 1 year?
Yeah, I think getting into the groove, doing the prep and whatnot, that was, I mean, is all expected. But somehow before every episode, I nearly have a nervous breakdown because I am nervous to just go live. But I think, like I was saying right before we went live today, like this is the least stressed that I've been. And so I think that's a testament of just getting into a good groove. I don't think the nerves will ever fully go away, but just getting comfortable on camera, talking to people,
really
having a live interview.
Which is really funny to me, because when we have the live interviews, like you've prepped everything. And so, you know, the audience probably doesn't know what goes into the show. You would think by the way that we are perceived on the show that we have not prepared for shit. We haven't done anything. You would think we just come in and wing it on a general day. Yes. And most of the time I do. But Ashley Lee does some amazing work on the background where she does a prep interview. And I'm on those prep interviews too. I'm kind of downplaying the fact that I just wing it. But she comes in, she does prep interviews. We have a, what do we even call this sheet? I know you have a name for it. The one that I'm looking at for the show. The prep sheet.
Show notes.
Show notes. We have a fully prepared show notes that goes through the flow, what we're going to talk about. And it takes a lot of energy to put a show like this together. And now we have two shows. It's not just this show, but we've spawned 100X Engineering, which is a show put on by Carter Hesterman from Jupiter One on the opposite Tuesdays of our show. And quite frankly, it's doing phenomenal. it's growing leaps and bounds. Feel very happy on that show. But now that you've actually started or participated in two shows, how do you feel about what you've learned on that journey?
Would you do it again? I think so. Somebody was asking on, so we're both, Tyler and I are part of the Cybersecurity Marketing Society. It's a Slack channel that we get to, they had a really cool happy hour at the press club at RSA. So thank you, Gianna and Maria, for hosting that.
Shout out to that society. If you're in cyber marketing, yes, and watching this show, definitely go check out that society. They're great people.
So one of the questions was, why do you live stream versus have like a polished video version or polished audio, right? And I think the main thing that drove us to live stream was to not let perfection get in the way of shipping. And I think I have a tendency to overthink scripts and overthink how things should flow and whatnot. At the end of the day, you can prep and then the live stream goes, the live stream goes, right? And so letting go of needing perfection and just kind of riding the wave of the episode. And it's been fun every single time. It's like,
so that's your biggest learning minutes? Is kind of letting yourself go of,
yes,
perfection
and going frozen
with what needs to happen.
Which, by the way, is on my karaoke list. So
what is?
Let it go.
Oh, let frozen? It go. So I will remix the intro if you karaoke Let It Go on one episode.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I'll have to warm up a lot. But yes, I can't do Idina.
Wow. The producer's, yes, here to say we don't have the rights to use that song. So
I'm bringing out keeping us honest.
Hard no.
Thank you.
Hard no from Tyler P. I love it. Hard no. So this show episode is all about what it's all about us. This, yes, is an us episode, right? Because let's look back, take a moment and look back at the list of guests that we've had on the show.
Yes. If you phrase the question differently on what I learned from our guests, that'd be a different answer. But if you're asking overall, hosting a show, no, producing, well, a show, that's probably the biggest learning for me.
That's where I'm going to go. Is let's go back in time and think about some of the guests. And maybe let's think about what we learned from the guests. So episode one, and I'm not going to run through all the episodes, but we've had some phenomenal guests. Episode one was like this, just you and me winging it. Which if you go back to episode one and watch episode one, it's super, as my kids would call it, super cringy dad. Like it was... It was super cringe, right? And I feel like we've gotten much smoother in our presentation. Yeah. We've gone from like a 2 out of 10 to like a 4, right? So we're excelling.
We're improving on the up and up.
Exactly. But we've had really cool people.
I think my contribution's a 4 out of 10.
We've had really cool guests ranging from the CEO, the two founders of Phylum. We've had internal guests like Carter before he started his show and then went and spun him off to his own show. Adrian Sanabria from Enterprise Security Weekly, a phenomenal series of guests around the Reinventing Cyber book that Jupiter One put out. Dropped something.
Over there.
Which is right. Yeah, there you go. Right back there as she's looking. We did a couple of interviews with investors. We've done a couple of interviews with analysts. We've done a series of content creators so far. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you, I want to go back to the question about what you learned, right, from the guests. But before that, given the guests, they kind of come in clumps, right? Mm-hmm. We can kind of group them together. Which group of guests did you find the most interesting? And which group of guests, and for those that are listening live, which guests were your favorite and why? Which group of guests were you like, hey, I loved doing this 1, 2, 4 group of guests? I'm not asking for the individual one because I don't want to call out any individual guest as being like a rock star. But groups of guests, which one did you like the best?
I think... I can't say the best. Like, the thing that I learned the most.
Which one did you enjoy bypass the best? Well, not necessarily which one was the best guest.
Correct. I'm going to fangirl over Caroline Wong all over again. That is like literally my favorite episode. When I've asked like which episode did I enjoy the most and learn the most, it was definitely talking to Caroline Wong and just learning from like her background and learning how she – you know, has able to translate her own experience into then managing people and growing other security professionals and just tech professionals in general, right? And so it's just been, it was really great to just connect with her and whatnot. I think the thing, why are we sharing the Bitly?
Because I mentioned it and it happened to be there, so I put it on the screen.
Yes, that for all of you that were looking, that was the Bitly for the Reinventing Cybersecurity book.
Yes, because we talked about earlier. It, so I wanted to get them in. Go ahead, continue. I'm sorry I'm like super distracting to you, but go ahead and
it's
continue.
It's all good. The thread that I think connects all of our guests is just the curiosity that they all have. There's like a curiosity and like philosophical pondering thread that they all have that I think is just a really interesting cut, because but it's still like grounded. They don't get lost in the sky of just pondering of what could be and, you know, pie in the sky type stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the thing that, you know, encouraged me, because I do find the space very curious. People are very curious. The technology is very curious. Like, it's just interesting to me. And so I'd say chasing your curiosity is kind of what.
Such a good thing. It's such a
what
good
I
thing.
Would say. What would I pull from that?
That's the thread you would pull on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'll flip that question onto myself and say that, you know, I really loved the content creation, which is probably surprising because, you know, if you're talking about my background, like the investors should have been the ones that I enjoyed the most talking to and that I might have learned the most from. But I feel like the content creator series that we just completed with David Spark, Daniel Meisler, Tracy Bannon. It was Meisler, and Clint. Sorry, Clint was the other one. I knew there were three. I felt like I just learned so much. Like, there was such a knowledge gap between what I currently do and what those guys are able to achieve and how they achieve it, guys and gals achieve what they're doing, that I felt like that was like the coolest series for me. And I really like the investors too, like Kelly Mack and then Jason Chan and stuff he's doing now for sure. But I feel like I learned the most from the content series.
Yeah. I think if we're talking inspiration, I mean, I learned, don't get me wrong, I learned a lot from the content creators. I actually think it's quite interesting. The, I don't know if this is a trend, but I feel like the people who are most prominent as content creators in cybersecurity were practitioners once themselves, right? So they're coming from a place of having done this, and so they're credible, which I think on the flip side of that is me coming in. I'm not a cybersecurity practitioner, but we are content creators. How do we garner that same credibility when we don't have that same kind of background? Which is a question I haven't really answered, but it's just a pondering, a learning, an area.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to somebody today, actually. Yeah, it was today. Who didn't have a lot of cybersecurity experience. And they were coming into or thinking about coming into a group of marketing people. And they were like, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't do it. Maybe cyber is a little out of my depth. And I was like, no, there's no reason you can't. And it's funny, you know, I look at the team that we've created at Jupiter One between you, Ashley. You had some cyber experience when you joined. But you're now writing a number of the thought leadership blog posts on the market as a whole. Like, you're creating those from scratch. So the growth of the last couple of years from a lot of people on the marketing team here at Jupiter One has been pretty impressive, how they've been able to absorb and learn. And it's, they're just gonna, gosh, the future is so bright there. But let me flip that back. We talked about the buckets of interviews that we've done. And if you were to look at those buckets of interviews, where would you say, I want to do more, or here's a new bucket that makes a whole lot of sense? Like, what would you think of, hey, what's the future of cyber therapy with new buckets and new areas and things that we can expand into? And I know I'm springing this on you and you're probably going to kill me after we're going, stop springing random stuff on me during the show.
I was expecting this question, actually, because I've been thinking a lot.
I spring random stuff during the show. So
And if you work for Tyler, you learn to expect the unexpected. So, but yeah, so I think in terms of who I want to bring on the show, or want to be able to interview and get to know.
But not individuals. We'll get to that.
Generally speaking, groupings, right? Yeah. So I'm interested in seeing people from other parts of the organization. So who interface with security, right? And how do they pull security into their practice and into their teams and ensure that they are applying, right? What security is advising. And so, and then, I mean, I think it would be fun to get like two people from the same organization, security person and non-security specialist, and like get them in a room and interview them together. And I don't know, play a game, but also like see where there's areas of difference, but then also common ground. Maybe people who are may have had an area of contention that need to work it out, because this is cyber therapy. So, you know, having an area of issues to work out, that could be interesting.
I love it. We actually need like a virtual couch. We need a virtual couch.
So I think if I were to say specific like job specs that I'm looking for, it'd be more like DevOps engineers or infrastructure folks, site reliability engineers, even just developers, right? Not that it's just developers, but like understanding how do they absorb what they're supposed to be doing, right? From all the training, security awareness, and all that into their everyday.
So, ladies and gentlemen that are listening to this podcast or this video cast from home, this is why I keep Ashley on the payroll. She's freaking brilliant. That is such a good idea. I absolutely love that idea, kind of extending out into how cyber impacts other people in the organization besides the CISO. It sounds like we have a series coming up in the semi-near future, maybe a month or two out. We can arrange for a series, but we have some other guests on the schedule between now and then, so we'll have to put this out a little bit.
Product security also is another like track that I would love to kind of go down, because that's like a newer role in the last 5-10 years, right? That has surfaced because of IoT. So I would just be interested to see, they sit at a very interesting intersection of cross-functional groups. And so just getting to know, you know, the kind of people who take on those roles and want to be at that intersection, and how to be effective at it.
In a previous life, I used to do offensive security to break product security. That was where I focused. So I would love to bring on some product security people and talk to them about how things have improved in the last 10 to 15 years since I was in that fighting cycle.
What about you?
What about me?
Yeah. If you wanted to. Ooh,
I don't like when you reverse questions. I don't like answering them. I like giving them.
I know. But that's why I take this opportunity live. You can't turn it down. I mean, technically you could. But
there is no past in this moment. Wow. I love your ideas. Your ideas are really trumping anything that I have come up with. You know, this is why you're a super producer. I'm just dumb talent. But I think I would really like to see, for me, I'd like to see some big names. I'd like to see if we can pull some monster names in the cyber community to come on this show. And it's not like the names we've pulled to date have been junk. You know, they're fantastic. I mean, we've pulled some true rock stars of industry. But what I'd like to do is start going to some of these conferences and pulling some of the biggest names at the conferences to come on the cyber therapy show and talk about how, not how they came up with their research or how they came up with their attack. That's not what's super interesting to us on the show, but spending a little bit of time talking about why they thought to go there in the first place, what made them think that this would be an interesting topic. So I think I'd like to get a little bit more out of some of the events that we support and try to figure out how to get into some deep dive conversations on the why behind cyber research, the why behind vulnerability creation. So to me, those are interesting topics. I think it augments what you do. Definitely, we couldn't do all of those. It would just be too technical a show, but I think it's a great combination between what you just said and what I said. What else we got? Well, let's see what else we got here on the show notes. Trends in cyber during the economic downturn. Didn't we just do a webinar on that here at Jupiter One today? Didn't that go out today?
Tomorrow. No, Thursday. Tomorrow.
Thursday. One day in advance. 2 days in advance. Today's Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So for those of you that are listening, if you go to JupiterOne.com and go to the events page.
It's a CSA webinar.
Oh, okay. Well, go to the CSA Cloud Security Alliance website and look at their most recent webinar. Jupiter One is doing
a panel
discussion. We're participating in a panel discussion about cybersecurity and the economic downturn. I'm glad I'm not on that panel.
Yes, it's a discussion led by Sunil, who is our CISO, Anne Marie, and Fernando. They're two wonderful folks who have plenty to share from different perspectives. Anne Marie coming from a heavily financial background, recently came from MasterCard. I think she's at Cognito now. Cool. And Fernando, I believe, is an analyst who gives
Fernando
a very
Montenegro?
Interesting. Yes.
I love him.
Indeed. And so really, really interesting conversation to be had there. So definitely sign up. Go to CSA webinar or CSA. Look up their webinars. It's called the CISO's Guide to Strategy During Economic Recession Center. Or something like that. Yes.
Yep.
Sorry for butchering that.
So we had the question here to answer, what are the trends in cyber during the economic downturn? And it's really kind of weird because you can't not do it. Right. It's not like you can just say, hey, we're going to do a little bit less of this because the economy is in the dump. Right. And so it's kind of a difficult situation for CISOs because it puts the grip, so to speak, on spend. Right. It's lowering spend. It's lowering their capabilities to get stuff done from a resource perspective. The resources are knocked down, cut off at the knees, but you can't do less security. You can't just walk away because the risk level isn't changing. If anything, it's going up in the economic downturn. And so now you have to do more with less. And that becomes such a difficult problem. I'm definitely going to tune into that webinar to see how active CISOs are handling that scenario, because you're basically going to be asked to do more with less in a scenario where risk increases. And that's just a difficult, difficult solution.
Yep. And I think in preparation for that panel, Sarah Hartland, who's on our demand gen team, and I were talking and trying to research like numbers, does cybercrime go up and whatnot? And there tends to be differing opinions on that. But I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of stats to pull from the last recession. So
when was the last massive recession? 2008? I mean, it's a long time ago.
When I was graduating from college.
Right. But that's so long ago.
Entering the workforce.
Yes. But my point is that so long ago.
A lot of things have changed in the last 14 years.
The cyber threats have changed, right? The cyber threats in 2008, 2009 were very different than the cyber threats in 2022, right? We're facing ransomware threats left and right. We're facing all sorts of new threats that we hadn't necessarily seen or had been nascent or young in that 2008 window. So I don't even know if you could compare apples to oranges in that scenario to say threats are going up or down, because the classes have changed across the board.
Yep.
Probably why there's no stats to pull from.
Yep.
Like you can't normalize it.
When did the investigations breach report from Verizon start?
The Deber? Oh, the Deber's been around forever.
But since around the same time, right? Since 2008.
Hey, so it's really cool. This thing inside a web browser is called Google.
Let me Google that for you. Thank you. I'm so glad you're doing that for me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, at the right. Clearly, my Google foo is garbage because it did not come up with an easy answer, and I'm going to have to dig. But
I think on this year's report, they did covers of all the previous ones. They included it in there. And I want to say they started in 2008, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, clearly, but anyways, my Google foo's garbage. I can't find it fast enough.
I would say that would probably...
Maybe super producer Tyler P can dig out when the first Verizon DBIR report hit. See if you can dig that out for us and hit us in the chat overlay, in the caption overlay. All right, what were you saying, Ash?
What I was going to say is, I mean, that will probably be our best bet to just have reviews over consecutively over so many years for as long as back as we're looking for, right? Because I don't know necessarily any other organization that has been tracking threats. In
yeah, you know, it's interesting too. Go back to the 2008 era. If we go back to the 2008 era, SaaS products were just starting. That was the hotness, right? I joined Veracode in 2007, 2008, 2006, somewhere in that window. So somewhere in that window, the SaaS model came up. Now, what's really super cool about SaaS-based security products is that we have the collective wisdom of all those security products having, whoa, just got dark in my room.
Big rainy cloud.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what happened. A big cloud rolled by, and I'll turn on my lights here. We have the collective wisdom of, what was that, 15, whatever the math is, 15 years of SaaS products collecting all that data on their customers, right? Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you can start to make aggregated decisions over time and aggregated research over time. So I worked for Veracode in 2008 to 12. And in that window, we I can't tell you how many millions or billions or hundreds of billions of lines of code Veracode has reviewed and secured, right? And found vulnerabilities in. So I think that's going to be our best true source over time. Reports like the Verizon DBIR report is valuable, right? Going back in time. But I think the SaaS tooling and connecting data between SaaS tooling to figure out trends, I think that's the future. And what's interesting is if you think about all of the SaaS security tools in market, everybody does every year. Each company does their own state of X, right? JupiterOne does one. We do the cyber assets report, right? Which talks about all the cyber assets that are in our database, how they connect, what that means to the customers, and how we can potentially extrapolate that information onto a broader stage of cybersecurity and asset management. Well, Veracode's been doing theirs for 15 years. You know, every SaaS platform has that capability. And I wonder if there's some interesting research to be done rolling up and cross-referencing some of this SaaS platform-based security data across all of these marketers who are doing different roll-ups of data. Now, the hard part is the data itself could be garbage, could be phenomenal, right? Like every marketing team has different capabilities and skill sets on that data. And so I don't know. I think we're living in an interesting era where we have an opportunity here to do data analysis to make cybersecurity better for everyone, because we're in a phase where collection of that data is acceptable. And I know that was a long
anonymized.
Rant, granted, it is anonymized for sure. It's all anonymized data, but collection of that data, analysis of that data is acceptable, and people want to use that to make the world a better place. Right? We're not analyzing that data to try to pinpoint problems in an individual customer, right? But at the end of the day, at the end of the day, we want to do better. And so super producer Tyler P, just here, I'll actually post the link into our little caption so you can see it. But apparently the very first DBIRC was 2008. So thank you, Tyler, for digging that out of the magic of the Google and the internet.
Yeah, that confirms that what I read. Okay. I'm happy to be right. I shouldn't derive so much pleasure out of this, but I do.
There it is. For those that want to try to type that, because I don't think you can cut and paste from our live image. There it is. You can like type that all in, all super long that it is. All right.
Showing. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So economic downturn. I don't have any. I don't know, man. I don't have any magic bullets on this one. It's just going to be a tighter, more difficult scenario for CISOs and for security people to operate under. And it's going to come down to efficiency of tooling, right? Efficiency of resources, efficiency of tooling, because you're not going to have the money to spend on additional people, additional tooling, expanding what you have. So it's finding ways, if you do spend a dollar, to have it efficiently return a dollar plus, right? So maybe if you do go spend $100,000 on some tool, that tool better return an ROI on human capital or return an ROI on operational efficiency in a way that you can justify that spend. I think that's going to be the key takeaway from the panel.
Thank you for sharing that, Tyler.
There you
because
go.
Tyler here clearly doesn't know how to use the chat function.
But what? That's okay. What'd I do? Did I break something?
No. It's just being able to share on the chat function.
Oh, I put it in the caption. Oh, shoot. See, that's why we have producers. I'm just
And this is why we have extra people who can specialize.
Absolutely. Focus, right?
Because Tyler's brain is over here. And then my
Tyler
brain is
over
here.
Brain is over here. Super producer yes. Tyler's brain is operating yes. at a capacity way better than mine. All right. So we've got some good bourbon today.
Oh, yeah. What are you drinking?
I am drinking Maker's Mark with a specific staff profile. And it's a barrel select from a group called the Blind Rabbits, which is a very cool. So they bought an entire barrel. It's a selection group here in North Carolina. They bought a barrel and distributed it to friends. So this is a you got to know somebody kind of bottle. I'm enjoying
you fancy.
It. Man, it's good.
Way to flex your connections. Maybe you should have them on the show sometime.
Hey, don't tempt me. I will start a bourbon show in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. All right, what's our next topic?
I think we were going to talk through trends in content creation in cybersecurity specifically.
So that's
because I think
there's two topics here. Trends in content creation.
Yes.
And then how do we apply trends in content creation to cybersecurity?
Okay.
Go ahead. Do you have any comments?
So,
you're the brains behind this.
I hope I don't get crucified for saying this, but in a lot of ways, I feel like cybersecurity is a little bit behind the ball on some things, right?
Behind the curve?
Yes. A little bit slower to adopt newer technologies and like just different ways to communicate and educate. So I think, you know, I think there was a huge rise of podcasts talking about, you know, news and the latest breaches and whatever your cut of FUD is. Not FUD, but just like really honing in on what's broken and why people need to, you know, it was raising the awareness of security by inducing a lot of anxiety, right?
Yep.
And I think podcasts were the primary way that I heard of these things, but I think blogs were also very common, right?
Uh-huh.
Nowadays, I'm definitely seeing a lot more. I think we're finally adopting short form content, live video content like this.
If this ends up extending to the point where you ask me to do a TikTok dance, the answer is hard no. I will not do it. I don't care how many bottles of bourbon you get me. I will not do a TikTok dance.
However, you have already been in a TikTok. So you've already broken
in a TikTok. Oh, yes. Man, you're ruining some of the game. You're ruining some of the game later.
And you are definitely a consumer of TikToks, given.
You are. Stop it. You're ruining the game.
Okay. I'll stop there. But I think in general, there is a newer wave. I think with people who are veering more into cloud security and cloud technology, I think there's just a natural adoption of just more current technology like TikTok, short form YouTube clips, Instagram reels, et cetera, to educate people about security, or just educate people in general, connect with people. It's a new wave. And I think it just is in conjunction with also the trend generally in cybersecurity to be more human, partner with people, be more of a partner, like be enabler of business, not the gatekeeper, right?
Yep.
So I think we're seeing a good trend of just dissemination of information. We're not so much gatekeepers of how smart somebody is based on how well they know all these vulns and how to, you know, execute, right? But we're lowering the barrier, I think, into the field because we need to.
It's interesting. You brought up, I mean, to
quote, a lot of topics.
To quote the cyber therapy tagline, let's unpack that because there is a lot of topics in there. The first one that jumped out at me is the natural attention span of audiences is shrinking by the day. It's been, I was actually talking to a social media person today whose full-time job is social media. That's all she does. It's all she understands is social media. And she's like, yeah, we're getting to the point now where literally if any, like 30 seconds is considered long form video. Holy smokes, 30 seconds is the attention span of a gnat. And you're asking me to go below that? But that's the reality of how people want to consume content. They want to consume it in micro bites. So if we apply that to, and again, I'm not talking about marketing a cybersecurity technology. It's not where I'm going with this. Where I'm going with this is if we apply that concept to cybersecurity training, if we apply that concept to cybersecurity, internal information dissemination to your employees, if there's so many ways that we can really shorten the length of that content and put it into a position where people get their quick bites every day or in certain points in the day, they get their bite of the training, of the information, of don't click this, here's how ransomware works, boom, 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 boom. Is there room for improvement in how we create our cybersecurity programs by looking at how marketers market things to the consumer today? And I think there is. I think there's room for something there, right? I don't know if it's something we create, if it's something like Know Before with their, what's the show that we have to watch?
Inside Man.
With the Inside Man show. Maybe the future of the Inside Man show is not 1 hour episodes or 30 minute episodes or whatever they do now. I don't even think they're that long. I think they're 10 minute episodes. Maybe it's an actual TikTok reel.
A series, yes.
A TikTok series or a reel on Instagram, right?
Like, yes.
Seriously, if that's
how I'd love to see Mark do a reel.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know, we use the Jupyter One, we use Know Before for our training, and it's like a known thing, I think. And I think it's beyond our company. It's a known thing that like Inside Man is like should have been a television show on freaking YouTube. Like they do such a real, actually it is a television show on YouTube. They released it all on YouTube, but like on Netflix, like they do such a good job with that content. They don't make it boring. And my point is if people want to consume in shorter form, why don't we give them things in shorter form that educate them, that help them learn how to do cybersecurity properly, that train them on secure coding practices, like whatever the data you're trying to distribute out to your audiences, why don't we start to adopt that model? And feed them the way they want to be fed.
But then how do you get them to act on it?
Now you're talking all the things I don't know about.
I think that's the hard part though, right? It's like you can.
But that's the hard part no matter what.
Yes, you can distill any learning, whether it's security or anything else, down to little bite-sized chunks. But if somebody doesn't want to actually act on it or apply it, like you can't force that, can you?
Give that to everybody that's ever tried to force people to do cybersecurity over the last 50 years. It doesn't.
People just find a way around it.
Yeah, and that's always going to be the case. But I think it's about cultural, right? I think a lot of the success of cybersecurity programs is cultural. I have conversations quite often with application security companies that are trying to implement application security into their environment. And they come to me and they want to know how I do it better, how we're struggling with people don't care. They push back. I'm like, well, it's because they're not incented to care. Like developers are not incented to care. Developers are incented to put out lines of code and features that work every day. They're incented to write new stuff. So if you can culturally shift your business to incent them to do the right thing because you give them black belts or you find ways of rewarding them, they get better, right? They do it because they want to do it. And that's always the trick. But I think there's two things here. One is getting them the content they need to learn from in the way they want to consume it. And then simultaneously culturally shifting them to actually say this is the right thing to do.
Yeah, I think it's not just incentives, but it's also just like personal connection. Like being able to connect it back to why is it important? Why is it important for your grandma to make sure that she has a PIN code, right, on her mobile device?
My grandma's PIN code is 1234.
Or like, being able to simplify it and make it personal for people to understand the ramifications of what happens if you don't, right?
Yeah.
Do XYZ. So, but yeah. Were there other threads in that you wanted to pull? So
yeah, you touched on the. I forgot them already.
It's okay.
hold
we on, talked about on. Short form.
I'm going to ask a friend here. Hang on.
Fathead Tyler.
Fathead Tyler says he forgot. Don't worry about it. Big Head Tyler doesn't care. Okay.
It's a lot of air in there.
All right. I see what you did there. Speaking of big heads, we're at 40 minutes. And I have a
dang, the time isn't flying. Hopefully y'all
have been rambling and yapping. So we're at 40 minutes.
Yes.
And I have a big head. I'm egotistical. The world revolves around me.
It's a wonder and that you
I'm the most important thing on this show by far. Like nothing's even remotely close to my level of importance on the show, except for maybe Big Head Tyler. He's kind of up there too. To that end, I made a game.
This is the first time, folks, that I am not managing the game. I don't know what to expect here.
Well, so this is a fun game. We have a little bit of time, and I'm taking a little extra time for the game today because it's a little longer, and there's going to be some stories told. And I just hope you guys find it interesting. I've been in cybersecurity for 20 years. First half of my career was all technical. Like I used to do the speaking lecture circuit, Black Hat, RSA, all of them. I got out of that world, got into the business world and marketing and how to market cybersecurity technologies. And along that ride, I've learned a ton of stuff. But I don't feel like necessarily the audience knows me. So what I want to figure out is how well does our super producers, Ashley and Tyler P., who's welcome to join at this time if he wants, how well do my two super producers know Tyler? So Tyler S., not Tyler P. So that's the game. Okay. Is how well do you know me? Now, Ashley's going to be at a distinct advantage. So because of that, she will actually answer every question second and cannot repeat what Tyler P. says. So if Tyler P. picks the right answer, you can't choose the same answer, even though you may think it's right. You have to choose a different answer. And that's my way of handicapping it because, for God's sakes, I've had so many conversations with Ashley. I've talked to her every day for about 2 years. She probably knows everything about me, and Tyler P. will be at a distinct handicap otherwise. So that's how we're going to play the game. Does that sound fun? It's sure. A basic, how well do you know your CMO game?
Let her rip. Let's see what happens.
I love it. So here's what we're going to do. Each question is a funny, interesting factoid about me. Each question is multiple choice. And I probably have way too many. Like we could go an hour easily, but some of them come with stories. Some of them don't. Some of them we may have actually talked about on the show before. So Ashley may be at an advantage in some of those as well. And we're going to keep score. Where's my scorecard?
Are we allowed to pontificate?
Yes. Pontificate away. You can even pontificate and lie.
Okay.
If you want to. All right. So here comes my makeshift scorecard. We got a T at the top. And we got an A at the bottom, right? So we got this right here. T and A. Oh, shoot. That probably doesn't work well. With that being said, we'll keep score anyways. So question number one, and Tyler P., you always get to answer first. And if you're right, you win immediately. If Tyler could have any superpower, it would be invisibility, telepathy, super strength, or x-ray vision. We're starting with a super straightforward one that has no story, although maybe you'll want to know why. Maybe you can ask why.
I'm going to go with telepathy because I think that'd be very helpful as a marketer to be able to read minds.
What were the options again?
It were invisibility, telepathy, super strength, or x-ray vision. Do, 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 do. Do I have to play it? I got a piano back here.
Is it on?
No. I've said this publicly before many times.
No, I know. What was the first one? Invisibility?
Invisibility, telepathy, super strength, or x-ray vision.
I'm going to go with invisibility because you're an introvert and you don't like people.
Not only did she get it right, she got the why. That's pretty freaking impressive. Like, it just goes to show you how well she does know me. So, yes, you nailed it. I 100% would want invisibility, and not because I'd want to creep her around on people. It's just there's large periods of times where I just don't want people to know I'm around, and so I would just go invisible and hide. So yes, that would be my superpower. Well done. Point for Ashley. Mark up the board. 1-0 TP. Come on, big dog. Let's go. All right. Number two. I look up. Tyler S. looks up to blank the most out of these four people. Bill Gates, Mark Cuban, Tiger Woods, or Elon Musk.
Okay.
Come on, y'all. This is cyber therapy, so I'm laying on the couch. Y'all should know me by now.
Yeah, I think no matter which one you go through, there's something to dig into there. I was like, oh.
Tricky one, for sure. This is a tricky one.
I'm going to go with Elon Musk, but I'm going to assume it's for maybe some non-obvious reasons.
Interesting answer. Ashley?
I'm going to go with Mark Cuban.
By the way, we have like 20 questions, so feel free to move quick.
Okay. I'm going to go with Mark Cuban.
God.
Just because you would want to be on Shark Tank, right?
Two for Ashley.
Yay! Mark Cuban. 100%. I'm sorry, Tyler Peterson.
And here's the why. Mark Cuban is super businessman, super smart guy. He comes across to me as just a good person. And so that's the guy out of those four that I would like the most. The guy I like the least, the guy that's actually at the bottom of the barrel, is Elon Musk. I think he's a dirtbag. I don't like anything about him. TP, you weren't even close, bro. Like, not even close. All
right. I'm surprised. Why not Bill Gates?
I like Bill Gates, but I like Mark Cuban better because he's more modern and more up to date. Okay. But yes, Bill Gates is good too. That was the trick question I was trying to catch y'all on. All right, number three. Which of the following is on Tyler's bucket list? Okay. Scuba diving the underground or the underwater wrecks in the Virgin Islands. Owning a Harley and riding the tail of the dragon in the border of Tennessee and North Carolina. Jumping out of a moving aircraft, which I have never done. Or fishing in Alaska during the salmon spawn. Tyler P., what you got?
I'm going to go with the motorcycle one. I feel like that, I think that checks out. I think that I can see that as some hidden lore in your background that you, that I don't know about maybe.
Okay. All right. Ash?
First one was scuba diving. Second one was motorcycle. Third one, what was the third one?
Jumping out of a moving aircraft.
See, you could have said, I've never done this before, as like a red herring.
For what it's worth, I've never done any of them.
Oh, okay.
Look at, she's like trying to cheat, get more information before she answers. Tyler, this is kind of garbage for you, bud. She's like, well, what about this? And what about that?
I'm going to rule out fishing because I think that's going to be too boring for you. You're going to get too antsy. So it's between scuba diving. I mean, TP, you took my first choice. So I have to choose between. We'll go with jumping out of an aircraft.
Absolutely.
Because it's
not
accessible.
Absolutely not. And Tyler, I like your thought process. I rode motorcycles for years out in the hills of Silicon Valley, but I hate Harleys. They're the dumbest motorcycles on the planet. Your feet should never be 6 feet in front of you when you're riding motorcycles. Completely counterintuitive to cornering. I actually have a bucket list of fly fishing in Alaska during the salmon spawn.
What? Yes. I thought that you would be way too freaking bored for that.
No, that's exactly 100%. I even gave you a hint in my hat today, guys. Man. It's a fishing cap. The hint was right there in front of you on video. No, I would like to do that someday. None of the other ones appeal to me at all. I'll pass on it. Scuba diving, I actually tried to once. I got down to the 30-foot mark where you got to clear or whatever. Freaked out, came up, and I've never gone underwater since. I hate it. Never going to do it again. So, Yeah, there you go. Let's get a good one. Let me jump to a
but
good
I,
one.
So, wait, hold on. Let's go back. Motorcycle.
Let's unpack that.
What kind of motorcycle would you?
Sport bikes. Right. Sport bikes, where your feet are.
Sport bikes. You gotta be in
a
really uncomfortable position for a long time.
When you corner a motorcycle, yes. You push forward with your shoulder and down with your knee. So how do you do that when your feet are 6 feet out in front of you on a Harley hanging on ape hangers like this? Ridiculous. I don't like Harley.
You're not going at crazy ass speeds. Harleys are more for like the chill. Let's go, you know.
All right.
Roll.
Harleys suck. All right. Next question. Tyler, if you don't get this one, I'm going to be thoroughly disappointed. This one's an easy one. Okay, buddy.
My job is on the line, guys.
All right. If Tyler won the lottery, the first thing he'd buy would be a bigger house, a handful of bottles to add to his bourbon collection, a large European vacation for his entire family, or nothing. He's perfectly happy with what he has, and he would just put it in the bank.
I'm gathering that you're less of a materialistic person and you're more into experiences, which makes me go to either the bourbon or the vacation. But judging by what's happening on this episode today, I'm going to go with the bourbon.
All right, Ash.
And I'll go with the European trip.
You're both wrong. I would buy nothing, put it all in the bank. I don't need it. I would literally put every single penny in the bank and just lock it up. I wouldn't buy a damn thing. Trick question.
What? So then what would you do with the money? Like the next day?
Put it in a bunch of investments and forget about it. I'm perfectly happy with what I have. Now, my wife, on the other hand, would probably demand a vacation in Europe. But that's not what the question is.
Don't you have a whole bunch of vacations that you've already suggested to your family that's never been planned?
They're not things I want to do.
Okay.
They're not things I want to do. All right. This one's super easy too, Tyler. Come on. You can't miss two layups in a row. If I could have a lifetime supply of one type of clothing, it would be Chuck Taylor All-Star sneakers, golf hats because I sweat through them every weekend, or black t-shirts that fit perfectly.
So I'm not going to go with the shoes because I've never met you in person and I don't know what shoes you wear. I'm going to go with the hat. Yeah.
Ashley. Oh,
making me nervous.
That's right answer.
You want to pass?
Fine. I'll answer with the black shirt because it's the only other plausible
all day long thing. Black shirts. All day long.
What?
Black
comfortable t-shirts. No way. That
fit perfectly. I would wear them 7 days a week for the rest of my life.
I thought I have distinct memories, even on this show, talking about your golf hats and how you sometimes get sunburns here. So you need to actually get legit
absolutely
hats that cover.
That I could use those. But if I could only pick one thing, it'd be the black t-shirts, which I would literally wear every single day. I buy them by the dozen from Banana Republic.
Huh. Have you tried Built t-shirts?
No, but it sounds interesting. So Built this is like perfect cybersecurity fodder, by the way. We're really on some great cybersecurity topics today. So
these are all his secret passwords.
Exactly. You now know all of my ways to get around my password. All right, here's a tricky one. Tyler, you're really letting me down. You're down 2-0, bro.
This is the tricky one?
Actually, this one's it's going to be tricky for you, but I think Ashley's going to know it. Like, she's already going to know it. Before I started my career, would you believe that I was a landscaper, construction worker, semi-professional skateboarder, or Burger King employee? I fit that. Just look at me.
Can you
tell
say them again?
Sure. Landscaper, construction worker, semi-professional skateboarder, or Burger King employee?
Where did you grow up?
Syracuse, New York.
I'm going to go with landscaper.
Ashley?
That was going to be my choice too, so I have to choose another one. We'll go skateboarder.
Gosh, you guys can't get anything right. Do I look like a skateboarder? Do I look like
I think that would be funny. Who knows? You could have had a different life. I guess it was super.
No, I worked at Burger King. I worked at Burger King for over 2 years, flopping whoppers in the back of Burger King, and I could tell you all sorts of crazy stories about. I can still to this day eat a Burger King cheeseburger in a bite and a half.
I'm surprised you still
Tyler,
can eat it.
Tyler about threw up when I said that out loud.
Why do you share this information?
What, Ash?
I'm surprised that you can still eat it after working there.
I actually had it last week.
my.
Buddy and I stopped and we got burgers. I actually had Burger King breakfast this week.
Okay.
All right. We only got a couple more because we're bumping up against time here, but I am enjoying this because I'm an egocentric maniac. Let's see here. What's another good one? All right. This one, Tyler, goodness gracious, dude, this is a layup, bro. Dunk it. All right. You ready? Not many people know this about me, but when I was younger, I traveled to 20 states before the age of 10, did competitive go-karting, played junior Olympic volleyball, or hacked into Ithaca University in middle school.
I mean, I'm going to go with the hacking one because nothing else is.
All right. I mean,
you said layup, so I'm like, volleyball? Can you lay up in volleyball? Is that a thing?
Ash?
I mean, I would agree with Tyler, but because you didn't actually start playing volleyball until you were in college. And what were the other two options?
Competitive go-kart, traveled to 20 states before 10.
I don't think you traveled to 20 states before 10. And I don't think that you were professional go-karting, though that would be super cool. But you know what? I'm just going to say go-karting anyways because I can't choose.
Ashley, you had it in your hand. It was junior Olympic volleyball player.
No, I thought you said you didn't start playing. Oh, you didn't start playing until high school.
Correct. And then Tyler, you totally fell for the trick. I actually hacked Syracuse University in middle school, not Ithaca. You fell for the trick on that one. I got you hook, line, and sinker.
I definitely forgot that you started in high school, not college. God,
there's so many good ones on here that I could get to, but we just don't have time. Let's see. If I could try, if here's another one. So it's still 2-0.
Why did you start playing volleyball? What got you start? Why did you start playing volleyball? Yeah.
Because I sucked at every other sport, and there was like not enough people trying out, so I tried out and fell in love with it. I'm literally like, what happened? All right, here we go. T. You're down 2-0. You're still in the game, bro. You're still in the game. If Tyler could try any job, I'd like to try one day as a plumber, video game designer, professional golf, like golf professional that teaches people how to golf, or an Uber driver.
Okay, I'm going to go with golf because I now know about golf hats.
Logic is sound. Logic is
that means Ash. I'm wrong, probably.
Yeah, pretty much. Ash, go ahead.
Can you list the choices again?
Uber driver, golf professional, video game designer, or plumber? You guys don't know me at all.
It's between video game designer and...
I have to have another drink. It's so sad that my employees don't know me at all.
Well, how often do you talk about this stuff? It's not like you show up to every meeting with a fun fact about
you. You're just weak.
What was the last choice?
Oh my gosh, do you need me to like tell you the answer too?
Yes.
What's the last choice? Uber driver, golf professional, video game designer, plumber.
I'm going to say video game designer because Uber driver just doesn't seem like your alley since you don't want to talk to people. And
so this one's going to blow your mind. But I actually have installed on my phone the Uber driver app.
What?
And I am a certified Uber driver.
What?
Yep.
But you don't like talking to people. I guess you're the perfect driver for the people who don't want to talk to
people. I've never done it, but I'd like to try it for one day.
Huh.
And I'm this close to doing it. Like I literally could do it tomorrow.
Yeah. Then do it. There are actually a number of VPs in the area. You are speechless,
right, Tyler?
I'm speechless.
Like, what the hell is with this guy? This guy's a nut job. He's crazy. All right. Let's see what else.
Really? Not video game designer? I feel like you would enjoy
IBM. I feel like that's a job, journeys, though, that wouldn't have like an interesting day-to-day, though.
No, that's why the thing said try for one day, because I can't think I'd do it long-term. Like, I would hate it. But I'd like to try it for one day. All right.
Interesting.
Now, Tyler, think back. This one's going to prove to me that you pay attention when you're off screen. Okay. I hope you're paying attention when you're off screen today. Tyler's secret guilty pleasure is he's a video game junkie. He plays too many video games. he's addicted to how to play guitar YouTube videos. He watches the Housewives shows. Or his guilty pleasure is TikTok.
TikTok. Oh, that's wrong. I already know it's wrong.
You want to change it, Tyler? You want to change it?
Oh. Video game.
Sure. Is that your final answer? You press the big red button.
No, I guess. We're at the top of the hour. Let me just go with it.
Ashley?
It's TikTok. You had it right.
It's all over TikTok for sure. You didn't listen to this whole episode, Tyler. Come on, man.
I thought it was too obvious. I mean, you know, I'm going to stand by my... I was wrong every single time, but I'm going to stand by my logic for most of those.
The logic was always really sound.
Pretty logic. Yes.
You're putting
And I've only known you for 3 months.
All right. Let's see. I got two more, and then we're going to wrap it because we're at the one-hour mark. If Tyler could have the world's best collection of something, it would be cigars, baseball cards, guitars, or bourbon.
I'm thinking guitars or bourbon. I'm going to go with bourbon.
Final answer.
And I'm going to go with guitars.
Bourbon. Tyler gets a point. Woo, it's 3-1. Well done. I absolutely would. If I could have the biggest collection in the world of something, it would be like a man cave of bourbon, just hundreds of bottles of bourbon. All right. Final one. And this is a tricky one. If Tyler gets to choose his next life, he wants to be the master distiller at a major bourbon brand, a professional PGA golfer, the CEO of a high-tech startup, or a well taken care of golden retriever.
No Uber driver option.
Okay. No Uber driver option. This is in my next life. What am I going to be, guys? This is the last one. And it's for all the marbles. It's worth 5 points. So if you get this one, you win, and I will send you absolutely nothing as the winner.
Okay. I'm going to go with golden retriever.
Final answer?
Yes.
Ashley?
We're going to go with bourbon distillery since he took my first answer.
And the winner of today's How Well Do You Know Your CMO game is Tyler Peterson, because I definitely would want to come back as a golden retriever. I say it to my wife all the time. If I come back, actually, technically, I always tell her I want to come back as a well taken care of wiener dog, because I have a wiener dog, but I thought that would be weird to put in the question. So I changed it to golden retriever, which is my other dog. So come back as either of those. I'm a very happy man. Tyler, you actually squeaked it out at the end. You're the winner. You win.
You had me in the first half and I came around.
You win absolutely nothing, my friend. Well done. Kudos. Yay. All right, Ash. Give me our next guest. Do you know who it is off the top of your head?
Yes, Chrissy Safi. She works at Protivity. She manages an offensive security team. So interestingly enough, you have an offensive security background, so it should be a good discussion. Fantastic.
I cannot wait to find out what has changed in offensive security since this old head used to do it into today's society, into today's world. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. That's 2 weeks from today. Next Tuesday, we've got 100X.
Yes. And we've got Pat Morgan, who is our product designer, or one of our product designers, I should say.
So that's the coolest show ever. And Ash and Tyler both kind of help behind the scenes a little bit on that show. I'm super impressed with that show. It's really taking off. It's gaining in popularity. Please go check it out. It's in the...
Yes.
How can they find it? YouTube main channel?
YouTube, 100X Engineering. Go to Jupiter One's YouTube channel. It'll be there. We will have a landing page soon. Our design team is on it. So we'll get there. But for now, the playlist is on our YouTube for Jupiter One. So definitely, if you tune in next Tuesday live, be sure to jump in the game. They love extra participants from the audience.
Do, yeah. So they have a really cool format too. They actually do a game like for over half of the show while they're doing the interview, which I think is super cool. I love it. It's super entertaining. It's got a kind of a Twitch vibe to it. So go
it's
check
chaos
it out.
And fun.
Absolutely. Please also tell your friends about Cybertherapy. If you like the banter, you like what we're talking about. Today's show was all about high level fun. Next week, we dive back into the meat of cybersecurity and the why behind it. please click subscribe. Please send us to your friends. Please tweet about us. It goes a long way for us to help grow our followers. Once we grow our followers to certain levels, we actually unlock ability to market this in a better way and to continue to grow the program. So please click subscribe, click the notify button. Come check out our future shows. Anything else you guys want to add? Tyler P., thank you for playing in the game today. I know you're normally behind the scenes. I really appreciate you coming on, man. Ashley, as always, I love talking to you. I feel like I could literally do this for days at a time. Anything else you guys want to throw in there before we sign off?
Nope. If you have anybody you want to hear on this show that was on a different podcast and you want to get a different spin on them, definitely send them our way.
Send them our way. So. All right, Tyler P., you ready to sound us out of here?
Yep. Here we go.
Bye, everybody.
See you all next time.
See ya.